reality of what we've been singing this morning. As we were singing, "I Surrender," rebellion was rising up in me. Because I don't want to surrender, I want my way. So, Father, we come this morning in the precious name of Jesus, and I ask, Father, that the power of your Holy Spirit would convict us this morning of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And Lord, I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit will expunge rebellion from us so that, Lord, we could see through your eyes. That, Lord, we could love with your heart. Father, I pray that we could forgive just a little bit like you forgive. And that, Lord, I pray you'll bring peace, eternal peace that lasts forever in our hearts through your word this morning. And that, Lord, we could understand it and we could implement it in our lives in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Good morning. You know, that worship just killed me. I didn't realize what a rebel I was until I was singing "I Surrender," and I realized how hard that is. So if you're visiting with us today, we're glad you're here. We want to welcome you. If it's your first time here, in the seat back in front of you is a connection card. If you fill it out right through these doors over here, we have a welcome center. And if you go over there, I have a gift for you. The key is we want to get to know you. And believe it or not, we won't give your name out to anybody, okay? But what we do is we keep it on track. And then every week in our staff meetings, we say who's missing. You see, it's our job as shepherds of a flock to say, hey, what happened to that person? Haven't seen them. And you'd be surprised how many times we have to go back and find that connection card. And then we can call. And the interesting thing is no one's ever said to me, how dare you call me? You know what they say? People say, wow, thanks for checking in. Thanks for remembering. So we love it that you're here. We love to worship with you. If you fill that card out and you'd hand it in, that would be awesome. We'd like to get to know you. We want you to get to know us. Thank you to everybody who helped wrap presents for gifts from Friends of Jesus. Man, we had the gymnasium full of people wrapping. I was a supervisor because you wouldn't believe what it would look like if I actually wrapped. But it was just a great time. We want to thank you for that. It was a good ministry, and it continues today. They're going to get ready to give out those gifts, and it's very good. So thanks for helping. Christmas Eve service is Monday, December 24th at 5 p.m., all right? As in all years, we tell you, come as a whole family, bring the children, but this year, we have a wiggle room. And I'm thinking it could get full this year, but we come as a family. We want to come and celebrate. It's a one-hour service. I just am looking forward to it. And it's kind of like a reunion here. I see people I only get to see once or twice a year, but that's our Christmas Eve service. It's fantastic, okay? I want to thank you for your tithes and your offerings. We don't take it for granted, all right? Pastor Steve announced last week we were ahead of our budget by $36,000, okay, which was a great praise report. And then we want to set a goal, all right? We want to set a goal that by the end of this year we could be ahead of our budget by $60,000, all right? Now you might go, what in the world's wrong with those guys? Well, here's what it is, all right? We have a lot of children and we don't have room for our children right now. They're constantly talking about, what are we going to do with all the children? Are we going to split the same age groups up? What are we going to do? And so we want to put an addition on down here off of the fellowship hall, the gymnasium, and the hallway. And the first $25,000 of that $60,000 over would go for plans and permits. And you can start praying about that already, okay? Because plans and permits are not always easy to get past, all right? And so we're going to have to do that. So that's the first leg of that. We'll be sharing more with you about what it's going to look like, where it's going to be, what it will cost in the future. Then we want to give our missionaries a gift. Last year, I think we gave over $7,000 for a Christmas bonus to our missionaries. This year, we want to do up to $15,000 if this money comes in. Personally, I believe that's why God has us ahead of budget right now, because you can't outgive God. And when the deacons first said last year we were going to give that whole offering, the last offering of the year, to the missionaries, I thought, oh boy. But see, I believe God is blessing us because of that, all right? Then the other $20,000 that's left over, if it comes in, will be for some staffing needs that we're going to hire and bring on, okay? So if you're here with your Bible this morning, turn to Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah. And this morning we're going to talk about the peace of Christmas. Is there anybody here that would like to have total peace in their life? Yeah. Does anybody have it? It amazes me. You know, I haven't had television for months now, and I really don't miss it that much because I don't hear the news and I don't know, but I just went online and looked at the news. It's the same as it was when I lost my television. They're still arguing over Russian collusion with the president. I'm like, isn't this finished yet? Very, very interesting. There's no peace, all right? So this morning we're in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It's where we left off last week when we talked about the light of the world. And listen to what Isaiah says. And remember, he's speaking this in a time that's at least as messed up as our day is today. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I want to ask you before I turn the page and go to chapter 11, wouldn't you like to have that peace? Amen. Amen. Now in chapter 10 and the rest of this chapter, he talks about the fact that Israel is going to be punished for their disobedience. But then he also says, Isaiah also says, to all you nations who come against my people, Israel, I'm going to punish you. No one gets away. No one gets away without the justice of Almighty God. Now we're going to chapter 11 and we're going to pick it up, and it says, a shoot, verse 1, will come up from the stump of Jesse. Remember, I think it's back in chapter 8, it ends with, I'm going to leave a stump. See, the holy line, the holy seed from King David is going to come through. Jesus is going to come from that line. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Now listen to the results of this. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I love that text. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Father, I ask you to come in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to give us vision today, but I also ask you to give us solutions for our problems today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The first point in your outline, Jesus has authority to rule. We were singing the song, you know, Lord, I surrender, and I'm thinking, yeah, but God, how come? See? How come I can't have my way all the time? I know I'm the only guy like that in here. See, Jesus has authority to rule. It says, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. What does that mean? It means authority is on his shoulders. And it's drawing a contrast here to the fact that Israel has a rod of oppression on their shoulders. See, the Assyrian king is coming against Israel here. Judah, Jerusalem's going to be overrun here. And there's this rod of oppression on them. If you're in here this morning and you're not free from sin and guilt and shame, there's a rod of oppression on you. It's a yoke of bondage. And it says the government will be on his shoulders. In other words, he's going to be in charge. He has authority. Jesus' own words in Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. See, in heaven, on earth, and below the earth, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus has authority to rule. We look at the world today and say, where are you, Lord? It's a great question, isn't it? When will this take place? You might say, how long will it last? Look at your next point. Jesus' government will bring everlasting peace. Everlasting peace. It says here, from that time on and forever, there will be justice and righteousness when the government is on Jesus' shoulders. In Luke chapter 2, and verse 14, I love it in the birth announcement of Jesus. It says, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Is there peace in your life today? Wow. Jesus' government will bring everlasting peace. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever been watching the news or looking online and they have a video of somebody committing a crime? You ever see that? Isn't it interesting? My wife says this, don't people know they got cameras everywhere today? You know?
Guys are like, oh, I didn't do that.
They got them on film. And then on the news they say, well, he allegedly did this. And I'm like, oh, cut it out. Allegedly, he's on film. I gotta relax. Now look at your point. Jesus is a righteous judge who cannot be deceived. He is a righteous judge that cannot be deceived. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 11, all right? Verse 3, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. Boy, I looked at that and I said, Lord, what are you talking about here? What's going on? And I realized every human judge that sits on the bench hears the testimony of a bunch of different people, conflicting stories, doesn't he? And he sees whatever evidence they can come up with, but he does not always rule correctly. And it says when Jesus is here and the government is on his shoulder, he won't go by what they say. He won't go by what they show him. He was there when it happened and he knows. If that doesn't make you think this morning. See, he's the righteous judge. If you're in here today and you're going, the world is so evil, and I'm worried about how my children and my grandchildren are going to grow up, then we need to ask ourselves, who's in power and who do we want to place on in control? Jesus drove the scribes and Pharisees crazy. Because they could pull the wool over everybody's eyes but his. He knew what was in their hearts. How many times does it say in Scripture, but Jesus knew what was in their heart? Turn to somebody this morning and say, Jesus knows what's in your heart. Woo! He's a righteous judge who cannot be deceived. The government's on his shoulders. Now, I love the next point. Jesus restores justice for the meek of the earth. Isn't it interesting? It doesn't say he's going to plead the cause of the rich and famous politicians. That's not what it says. It says he comes to the poor and he comes to the needy. In Matthew chapter 11, all right? Matthew chapter 11, verses 4 and 5. When John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus, and they say to him, great question, are you he who is to come, or should we look for another? Listen to the answer. Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to who? To the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Jesus pleads the cause of the needy. He brings justice for the meek of the earth. If you're in here this morning and you're going, man, I hate the way things are going in the world today. I listen to a news report and I say to my wife, how dumb do they think we are? Trying to get away with this. You know, back in my, this is just coming to me, so I might get in trouble for this, but back in my home state there, Illinois, that I just left, I can remember when they came out with the news report, and they said, now, if you play the lottery, we're going to take all that money, and we're going to give it to the schools. See? How come there's a referendum on every ballot to get more money for the school? Because they're broke. Can't tell me there aren't enough people playing the lottery. See, this Jesus is not like this. He's not like our modern day politicians. He's not That's not the government, folks. Because when it says the government will rest on Jesus' shoulder here in the United States of America, you could get a bad taste in your mouth. Folks, he's going to bring justice for the meek of the earth. Now, you're ready for the next point? I love this. Jesus removes enmity and restores the innocence of Eden. I love it, beginning in verse 6. Look at, the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. It says a little child will lead them. I don't believe that's talking about Jesus. It's talking about an innocent little child being safe in the world today. I want you to think about the world today. Is a child safe? When my little grandson wants to go to the restroom and wants to run off by himself, somebody from our family is right with him. And when I read what this says, the cow will feed with the bear, the young will lie down together, the lion will eat straw like the ox. Folks, that innocence is coming back. You see, God is going to bring it back. He's going to lock up the devil. What's it going to be like when there's no temptation? Best example I have is when you're filling out your income tax this year. And there'll be no voice in your head saying, "Oh, I don't remember that." No temptation. He's locked up. He's arrested. God restores righteousness. He takes away the enmity. In the garden, after the first sin, I'll put enmity between your seed and between her seed. When the animals came off of the ark, you know what God says? He says, "Hey, Noah, you can eat meat now, Noah. But I'm going to put fear on those animals of man." Enmity came in there, folks. But when the government is on Jesus' shoulders, when he's truly in charge, it's gone. There's going to be peace. There's going to be innocence. It's going to be like Eden. You can let your grandchild run and play, and there won't be a viper that will bite him and harm him. No more abortion. No more pornography. No more slaves. Come on, church. What are we celebrating this year? We're celebrating the peace of Christmas and what Christ brings when the government's on his shoulders. Look at your next point. Jesus' word will slay the wicked. Verse 4, he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. You know, Jesus doesn't have to fight really hard. He just has to speak. He's the one who spoke the world that you're living in right now into existence. And when he says, it will happen. In Revelation, when he comes with the armies of heaven with him, it says there was a rod that came out of his mouth. It's his word. And when he says the enemy's done, the enemy's done. And Isaiah's talking about this, church. Who's in charge of your life today? When you need counsel, who do you go to? Remember what it said? He's a wonderful counselor. I can't tell you how many times people call and say, "I need a counselor." And I say, "Come and talk to me." And they say, no, I'm talking about a professional counselor. What about Jesus? No, I'm talking about, and I'm like, I'd try him. I'd give him a try. Do you know what he says? You ever need a mighty God? He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. You know what else he is? He's an everlasting Father. You know what that says? It says he won't leave you. It says he'll never leave his family. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people about having a Father in heaven, and their face just gets hard and like flint, and they get upset because their father left. This one will never leave. He will never forsake you. He is an everlasting Father. So important, church, that we understand this. He is the Prince of Peace. You want peace in your life? Who's in charge? Who's in charge? Your next point, Jesus is personal, national, and international. Because all of you here are looking at the world right now and going, Pastor, you are out of your mind talking about this today. No, I'm not. I have hope. I know the one in whom I believe. I know he's coming back. But my question for the church today is, what are we waiting for? We have him. You want to change Lake Geneva? Start with you. He's personal. Is he in charge in your life? Let him change you. Let him take over. Let him govern your life. It's unbelievable what would happen, you see. I wonder if there's anybody here today that's in the middle of a nuclear family explosion. There's a bunch of you who could go, you were talking about us today. There are so many. If I start guessing which one it is, you'll go, no kidding, there's that many? There's that many. Wonder if you're struggling in marriage today. Just want peace. I wonder if there's anybody in here that doesn't like their boss. I would just like to have peace at work. Well, who's in charge? See? Wonder if anybody can't get along with their brothers and sisters. Who's in charge? See, Jesus is personal. And if he begins to change us personally and individually, and if we can do what we were singing, I surrender. Ugh. What'll happen, church? Now, I hope you understand we're talking about the next time Jesus comes back, aren't we? Look at your next point. Jesus' return will legislate everlasting peace. There's going to be no contest. He's going to speak. It's going to be done. The enemy's locked up. We're going to be at peace. If we're with him. Ooh. Last point. Allow Jesus to govern you. Who's the ultimate authority in your life? Are you allowing him to take over your life? Are you asking him for counsel? Are you going to him saying, hey, Dad, I need help? Very, very important. Now, here's what we're going to do right now, and please don't send me an email about this, okay? We're going to listen to a song. It's going to take a little over 4 minutes. So it's going to be very uncomfortable. Someone said to me last night, they said, oh, I was just hoping it would stop. But here's what I want you to do in this 4 minutes, I want you to ask yourself, who's governing me and is there peace in my life? I understand that this song doesn't have it all correctly. And it's not country. This is Andre Bocelli and Catherine Jenkins. My question for you, can there be heaven on earth for you today? You got to answer the question. You have to make the choice. But if you can get it up, roll it. So Mount Zion, where are you at today? Is there peace in your family? Tough part is you got to start there. See, if it doesn't work in your family, how can you tell anybody else to make it work in theirs? If Jesus is truly in charge in your life, you see, that can't happen. Heaven on earth can't happen without Jesus being in charge. But start with you. Start in your family. Start in your marriage. Can you forgive today? Can you allow the love of God to take over in your life? If you're in here today and you've never opened yourself up to His love, you have to do it right now. He will forgive you of all your sins if you call on Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to come with the power of your Holy Spirit and show each person in here what they have to do. Lord, your Holy Spirit knows. I don't know. But Lord, touch each of our lives today to bring peace into our personal lives and then into our families' lives. And then, Lord, let it ooze into the lives of all those we come into contact with, because we have peace, because the one governing us is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father, I pray for that peace to come this Christmas season, and that, Lord, we fully understand it, and that, Lord, I don't know about anybody else, but I just can't wait for you to come back and make this right. Give us hopeful expectation and faith to know it's going to happen, Father. And in the meantime, help us to do everything in our power to bring it to pass here on this earth now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, I'd love to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, I pray that you go in peace to love and serve our God. God bless you.